All right, we're starting Beitza. For some reason, the Bavli and this set of Yerushalmi, the Vilna set, both have Yuma, Shkolim Yuma. But I guess the set for which they originally determined to do Daf Yom Yerushalmi started had Beitza, which is in the middle of the Masech, middle of the volume here, as the first one. So, have you ever been Beitza and Bavli? Oh, okay. Welcome to the club. No, I did learn Beitza. But we're going to learn mostly about Muktzah. So the Masech is mostly about. Okay, Beitza Shnol the Yontif. Beitza, which is born on Yontif. Born means, of course, laid, but in Hebrew there's no difference. On Yontif, Beisham Arim Teochel, Beisham says it may be eaten. Beisham Arim Lo Teochel, Beisham says it may not be eaten. Matamundu Beisham. So the Gemara starts off right away. What's the logic of Beisham? Beisham here is Mekel. It's one of the rare instances in Chas in which Beisham is Mekel. So it says the Gemara, Muchenesi Al Gav Ima. It's already considered to be prepared to consume when it's in its mother's intestines, because that's already considered to be full prepared and ready to eat. So therefore, it's not as if it was mukta when child yontif began. That's why you can eat on yontif. Matamunda beisil. What's the logic of beisil? Nasa kumukta shi yavash. It's like mukta which dried below yadapo. There's a very interesting category of mukta. The Ushambi, the Bavli, does not hold this category of mukta. This category of mukta is a case where you have the classic case of mukta, the word, place where the word mukta comes from, is where you have figs or grapes that you set aside to dry, and you put on your roof, and the process of drying. So that's mukta. In fact, that place where you set them to dry is called the mukta. That's the name of that place. And that's mukta that's pushed aside and rejected until such time as it actually dries. Okay, so until it actually dries, so that it's not considered usable. Now, what if it became dry? In fact, the raisins and figs dried before Shabbos Yontif, unbeknownst to you. So the Bavli actually holds that that's mutter, as long as it was objectively prepared from before Shabbos Yontif. You don't have to subjectively be aware of its state of preparedness. But the Yerushalmi holds you have to be aware of the fact that it was prepared before Shabbos Yontif. So therefore, according to Beis Hillel, this is the egg might have been fully formed and ready to go and be laid before Yontif began, but since it was actually laid on Yontif, and he were not cognizant of its state of preparedness before Yontif began, therefore, it's awesome. Okay, that's Beis Hillel's perspective. So again, the Matam and Beis Hillel, Nasis Kamukta Shiyavash Lo Yadabo. It's like Mukta which became dry, but you were not aware of it. Ask the Gemara, Ilu Mukta Shiyavash Lo Yadabo Shema Ino Asr, is Mukta which became dry, and you're not aware of, is that indeed usher? Now there are a couple of different interpretations of this line. The way I interpret it is like the Mashbiach. He says it's in fact usher mukta which became dry. You were not aware of. There are other interpretations of the line, but that'll do for us. So it says more about Tani. I don't understand. Wacky. What about the following case? It says the shorah is a Tani koilus. If you slaughtered on Yontif a hen, umatza b'solchon, you found within the hen beitzim, eggs, apopi gemuros, even though they are completed. Now there's a word missing here, or a phrase missing. I mean, it's not really, of course, the fact that they're completed is a reason to assume that they are mutar Yontif, because it means they're not, they are prepared, they're already fully formed. What he means to say is, and even though you were not aware of it, even though they had formed, and you were not aware of the fact that they had formed, nevertheless they are mutar, harelu mutaros. So we see here that Rabbi Chan, this case over here indicates to us that even if you're not aware, this is like mukta shiyavash, right? You opened up the hen, and lo and behold, there was actually an egg inside the hen, which was fully formed. So you had no idea about this ahead of time. When you opened up the hen, you found that it's there. So then nonetheless, you say it's mutter. So let's say also in our case here in our Gemara, that should be mutter when you find the egg is laid on Yontif. Or you find a case where, for example, getting back to the mukta, you went up and you found that your raisins actually had been dry already for some time, since the beginning of Shabbos. So says one, no. Lo do metam achilas mifnim metam achilas bachutz. There is no comparison between the taste of eggs, which are still inside the intestines of the hen, and eggs which have already left the intestines. Meaning the eggs inside the intestines are still considered to be part and parcel of the hen. They don't have a separate identity. Even if they're almost fully formed, the portion down, meaning according to Shalmi, even if they already have their white shell intact, nevertheless, they're not considered to be true, complete, bona fide eggs. They're considered to be like part and parcel of the mother, of the hen. So since they're part and parcel of the hen, so therefore the hen, of course, is prepared. Any hen you can check whenever you want. So the hen is considered to be prepared from before you have to begin. So the eggs within the hen are also permitted because they're considered to be part and parcel of the hen. As opposed to an egg which is fully laid on Yontif, that is considered to be distinct, and that distinctiveness it must have before Yontif, otherwise it's also. That's Beisil Svarim. Charon Amar, the other Svarim, the understanding here is, among Rabbi Chin, Rabbi Mana, is Shein and Nigmeres Lef Roach Ad Shetei Tzei Lachutz. It's the other side of the coin. The first side of the coin was that when it's inside, it tastes different. Second side of the coin is that it's not yet a fully formed egg because it can't produce a chick until it's outside the mother's intestines. So therefore, when it's outside the mother's intestines, it's truly an egg because then it can produce a chick. When it's inside the mother's intestines, it's not truly an egg, so to speak, because it can't produce yet a chick. So therefore, we say at that point, if you shechted the mother hen on Yontif and found the egg inside, the egg is mutter under those circumstances. Okay? Says the Gemara, Mayim bebosar becholam. Mayim becholam. This is a peripheral question to our issue. What's the status of the eggs you find inside the hen vis-a-vis bosar becholam? Of course, eggs are considered to be parf. What about if you found the eggs inside the mother? Are they still parf? They're considered to be fleshic because you found them when you open up the mother. So it says Gemara, ima yumurus begidin, if they were still connected to the sinews where they grow. Now I don't know exactly how eggs grow. They grow in a cluster on something inside the hen. But if they're still attached to that sinew, whatever that git is, where they form a cluster. So then they're also teed with milk because they're considered to be fleshic eggs, right? And if they're no longer connected, they're severed from that cluster where they form. So then mutaras, and they're permitted to be eaten with milk because they're considered to be the ready eggs, which are of course parf. Now it's interesting. The Yerushalmi is more machmir than the Bavli. The Bavli holds that even if they're still connected to the cluster, if they're fully formed, they're considered ready to be parva. But the Yerushalmi says, as long as they're originally still connected to the cluster where they form, even if they're fully formed, they're considered to be fleshic. Okay? Says Yerushalmi further, Hakomodim, everybody concedes, the Beitzo Shiyotza Ruba Merib Yotim. If, let's say, the egg was laid in its majority before Yotim began, on Friday, either a few minutes before Yontif or earlier, well, Friday, on Erev Yontif, either a few minutes before Yontif began, at least a few minutes before Yontif began, Shetein and Shina Echels Biyotif, the Tzrekin says it was laid from before Yontif, and it's mutter to consume on Yontif proper. Mapli, where's their machlokas? B'sheyotza miyuta. When a minority of the egg came out before Yontif began, and then it went back in, and then it was laid the next day. Beishamai omrim, Beishamai says teochel, Beishamai says you can eat it, because it already started to be prepared before Yontif. Okay, this is not mukta shiyavash. It's a new way of understanding our mission. Machlokas is by an egg which already started leaving, but only left a minority of the egg before Yontif, and then the full egg left on Yontif. Beishamai says it's mutter, you can eat it. Beishamai lo seochel, he still says you cannot eat it because it's not. The it's not considered late until the majority came out, and the majority only came out of Yontif itself. Kashem shiasur leachol, kach yasur letalka. Just like you're not allowed to eat it, so too you're not allowed to carry it. Why? Because mukta is not just also to consume, it's also also to carry. Now this arva achas b'meo, if this egg, which you're not sure if it's this is even a very big chumrah, if you're not sure whether it was prepared from before Yantam or not, whether the majority of it was born, laid before Yantam or not, if it gets mixed in, achas b'meo, 1 in 100, achas b'meo, even 1 in 1,000, kulan asuros. They're all asur. Why? Because, you know, don't eat it, it's called dover shesh l'matirin, right? Don't eat it on Yantam, wait till after Yantam. So anything which is dover shesh l'matirin, which will become mutter, if we wait a little while, we don't say bittul. So here to the egg, we don't say bittul, because we say, be patient, wait, you'll get to eat it after Yantam is over. Now, how's it going like? Kamando amar savik achin asur. That might be go according to the opinion that holds it's something is suffic, whether it's prepared properly before Shabbos Yantam it's asur. Ground command my suffic hachin mutter. What about the opinion which holds that it's something which is suffic that perhaps was mucham before Shabbos Yantam that it's mutter? So what do you say in that case? Modu achadu asur. Here it's different. Here it's different. Here it's asur. Why? Because in this case, we say that, I made a mistake. In this case, we got mixed up a story about where it was definitely laid on Yontif, not a Suffolk case. If it was a Suffolk case, it was talking to be mutter. We're talking about a case where it's a Vadai case. The case was definitely laid on Yontif. It's just we want to be mutter because it got mixed up in so many other ones, so let's be mutter. So even if you hold Safek HaMuchan is Asur, so then I understand why even if you got mixed up your Asur, what choice do you have? It's Safek is Asur. But if you hold Safek Muchan is generally Mutter, why here if it gets mixed into others, even into 1,000, is remain Asur? So Sesma, I'll tell you why. It's a Nashmi, where you have some fruit which fell off a tree, and you don't know if it came from yesterday, meaning from before Yantam began, in which case it's mutter, or after Yantam began, in which case it's asur, right? So the nashri, so in that case where you have fruit which fell off the tree, savim me'ayom nashu, savim me'etzol nashu. You don't know if they fell off the tree yesterday, you don't know if they fell off the tree today. So in a savik, you can eat, because you're not sure if it's muchan or not. But here, yesh kan achas lesor. There's definitely one which is asur. In other words, we're talking about a case where the egg which got mixed into others is definitely an egg which was laid on the altar. So since there's definitely one asur, so therefore an asur is all the other ones. The muchachas al kulam, that means it indicates all of them, but it means that all of them are asur as a result of this one. Acherim omrim, others say, b'shem Rabbi Lezer. Now this is a new statement. Others is always Rabbi Meir. Generally speaking, at least the mayor, we don't call by name, because he, because of some run-in he had with Rav Gamliel once. But Acherim only sometimes calls according by name. But the reason why Sunday is called Acherim is because he had a run-in with Rav Gamliel, the Nasi. So in any event, Acherim on me, others say, right? Mayor says, Mishem, Rav Lezer, name Rav Lezer, Te Achel Hi Ve'ima. If you're eating the mother hen, you can also eat the egg. Okay, even if still holds the analogy to eat the egg, unless it was laid before Yantif, holds that if you're eating the mother hen, you could also eat the egg together with it. So it says, why is it true that you can eat it with its mother? I might understand it if its mother was designated to be shechted. Then the egg can be mutter, because I can say, since the mother was ready food from before Yantif began, and this egg was within food, right, because it was within the mother, the fact that it's laid on Yantif doesn't deprive it of its status as having been food as part of the mother. Since it was food as part of the mother, if you're eating the mother, you can eat the egg as well. Okay, it's like a meagle. Meagle, you're eating the mother. Since you're eating the mother, you can also eat the egg. However, that's only if its mother was perishchit to temuteris. But if not, let's say the mother was a hen which is supposed to raise eggs. who's a hen, egg-laying hen. So then, of course, the mother was never designated to eat. The mother was never designated to eat. So then you cannot say that she was mutter because the mother was mutter, because the mother itself was not designated for purposes of eating. So so that's the case. Not all hens are destined to be shechted. So how can you make a general principle that whenever the if you shecht the hen and yontif, you can eat the egg as well? Depends what the mother hen was designated for. Was it designated to raise eggs, in which case it should be osur? Was it designated for the purpose of being slaughtered, in which case it should be mutter to eat together with the egg? So it says, Maram Rabbi Bo, Rabbi Bo says, Teyachel bechina shel ima. You're right, what it means to say is you can eat the egg when its mother was buchana, was designated for the purpose of shechita, was prepared to be slaughtered, then the eggs are mutter because they piggyback on the mother. Not in a case where the mother was designated to raise chicks, in that case it doesn't apply. Now, ego shenolad biyontif. What if you have a calf which is born on yontif? Mutter. It's permitted to slaughter on yontif itself, which is a very interesting halacha, because the chori should say about the calf also, that's noilad, right? It wasn't prepared from beforehand. So says more, very interesting logic, and it's important to remember when we give all these logics, that all these halachas are muktzah d'rabbanan. So therefore, we can use our own logic in decreeing halacha. We don't have to actually go back to the sources, because the sources are d'rabbanan. So the rabbanan can play with the rabbanan, right? So he says like this. No, this is no exception. He says, muteru, the reason why it's muter, shu matir atzmu l'shchita, is because it's also an migo. Migo, that when there's a new halachic status, which is enjoyed by the calf when it is born. What is that? That now it can be shechted. When it's its mother's womb, it was not able to be shechted. So migo that has a new status that can undergo shechita, so therefore it also loses its status as muktzah. So it's now that it got the vehicle by which it can become mutter to eat by shechita, that same vehicle to the process of migo, which expands the boundaries of a limited vehicle, allows us also to consider it not muktzah. Okay, migo, that you can shecht it, and that permits a state which is previously also, right, takes it, which had been also man shecht it, and that's allowed, of course, on yontif. So also that, or that teach, that indicates to us that also now it's not considered to be muktzah, because the muktzah is something which you could not check. Till now you can check it. Now you can check it, so therefore it's not muktzah anymore. It's an interesting migo. Rabbi Zira didn't like it. Rabbi Zira, boy, if this, if that's the case, mi'ata mit boris, an animal which is growing up literally in the desert, but not domesticated. So we say that it's not muktzah to shecht on yontif, because it has to be corralled or lassoed or penned in, caught by you from before yontif begins. So tei muteris, let's say it's mutter, shimateris atzo v'shchita, because now you couldn't shecht it as long as it was out in the wild. You can only shecht it now that it's brought to your house, right? So therefore, let's say that since now it's mutter v'shchita, so therefore it should also be mutter in terms of muktzah. We know that that is not the case. We know that an animal which grazes out in the desert has to be designated by you in order for you to use it. It's going to be muktzah. Why? Let's say that since it's matir itself now by shechita, since you caught it, so therefore it's matir itself also for the purposes of muktzah. So, furthermore, same idea, tzviya, a deer, tame muteris, let it be permitted to slaughter on yontif, even though you never caught it from before yontif. Because now it's mutter to shecht, because now it's in your possession. So since it's mutter to shecht, let's say it's also mutter at this point because of muktzah. We know that's not the case. We know also a deer has to be caught from before Shabbos or before Yom Tov begins. So it says, well, you know what? Chazar Rabbi Zira reneged on his previous reason. He was forced to accept that the Migo reason is not a valid reason, because that could apply to any animal which all of a sudden became available to you to shech danyan, even though it wasn't available before. Rather, he said a different story. Chazar Rabbi Sira Bamar Ego mi esmo hu goymer. The reason why you're allowed to slaughter the reason why the eagle is not muktzeh when it's born on Yontif is because yesterday it's fully prepared. In other words, a calf, it doesn't get formed only finally on the day it gets born. It's like a child. It's already prepared to be born the day before it's born. Okay, it was just, so therefore this calf, even though you didn't see it, it was already prepared from before Yontif began, right? However, Bramacha, but by an egg, Boba Yom Nigmra Boba Yom Noda. Anytime it is complete, and immediately on that day comes out. So if the egg which comes out on Shabbos, it wasn't prepared from Friday, it only became prepared now on Shabbos. And of course the same thing by the animals before which you mentioned. The non-domesticated animal, of course it wasn't prepared. If you prepared it yesterday, it's mutter. The reason why it's usher is because you didn't prepare it from yesterday. You want to catch it on Shabbos or Yotam, that we don't let you do. And the same is true by tzviya, by a deer, we're prepared for yesterday to be mutter. What we don't let you do is catch it and prepare it on Yotam proper. Okay? Says the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Ba. Abba said, this is kind of a tangent, but it's an important tangent. Asya, this case of Egel Shalom B'yantiv, that Shemutr Shach B'yantiv, is command Amar Be'emo, you'll let us to Chodoshim Mekutoyim. It's quite the opinion that you can approximate the gestation period of a calf. I don't know how many months it is. Yeah, I wouldn't expect you to. But I don't know how many months it is, but it has to be that you don't have to know precisely when it was conceived. Because you have to know precisely when it's conceived in order to, I'm sorry, it can't be that it has to be complete months. Because if it has to be complete months, then you would have to know when the animal is conceived to know if now is the time when you can slaughter it. Because the halacha is that you can only slaughter an animal on the day it's born if you know that it had a full-term gestation. So full-term gestation literally means from day to day. From, you know, whatever it is, 270 days from the beginning until the end. So you have to actually know the day it's conceived, and that's almost an impossibility. The only thing you can know is approximately when it became pregnant. So as we're saying, in order to make a klal chadash of that when it's born, it's going to be fully formed, and it went to full-term pregnancy, you have to say we don't have to know precise date of conception vis-a-vis date of delivery. That's not necessary. What one has to know is approximately. And that's what Gemara is about to say. The animal gives birth at approximately, literally months, which might be cut off somewhat. But on quite a opinion says an animal only gives birth at specific months, in other words, full months of 30 days each, or after full months. Imagine that. Does he know exactly when she had relations with a male, that she copulated with a male animal, and that they formed the vlad? In other words, if you need really kolu chadasha in literal sense, that it's a complete, exact count. So how are we supposed to know when she conceived that we can be matri now? Okay? Now, getting back to other things here. Gozo, a chick, shenola bobiyantiv, which comes out of an egg on yontif, mutter is permissible to eat right away, of course, after you slaughter it. And it's not problem mukta. Shumati atzim shchita, same as we said before, because it's matir itself for shchita, which you couldn't have shechted it when it was in the egg. Now it came out, you can shecht it, so there it's not mukta, and therefore you can actually use it as foodstuff, right? So it says the Gemara, lo kein tani. Wait a minute, didn't we learn beitzim shirikvu? An egg which has a form in it, you know, a form like crisscrossing veins and arteries. An egg, obviously, if it's going to have a chick, is going to have crisscrossing veins and arteries, which are the beginning of the circulatory system, right? So if you find an egg which already has inside has this what? It's not a sinew, it's the capillary, whatever they're called, blood vessels. Right? It's formed blood vessels, not just the spot, but it has vessels already. So if it has the base of Shirikmu or Gozolim, chicks, which do not have fully formed wings, so they are considered to be asuimishum shekets. They are forbidden love because the lamento which says do not eat repugnant things. Vein lokin lamishum nevela. However, not considered to be a nevela. Of course, not considered to be a nevela because they're not considered to be fully chicks yet. It can't be a nivlas off unless it's a full chick, and this one's not a full chick, so therefore it can't be considered to be a nevela either. So it's not a it's not permitted to eat, but not because it's a nevela, but rather because it's a sheket, it's on the repugnant. Now, says the Gemara, Rabbi Chagai said, "Fafilu shachton." I don't understand. It sounds to this that even you shech them, you're not allowed to eat them. Yet before we said the minute that the chick pecks out of the shell, you're allowed to shech them. How do you reconcile these two prices? Right? It says here that until they get wings, you're not allowed to shech them. So you can't shech them once they come out of the. You can't shech them once they come out of the shechita, right? I mean, you can't eat them unless they have wings. So how can you shech them right when they come out of the egg? They're not edible yet. You have to wait till their wings are fully formed. So what does it mean that you can shech them right out of the egg? What's the understanding of that? So says the Gemara, I'll tell you. It's a good question. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Ibn Rabun said, the potter for Elam Danafki is talking about the birds which exit the womb. The Knafei and Alein, they got their wings already. Since they got the wings, they can be shechted on the spot. Rabbi Avo B'Shem Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Chanina shortly asked a question like this. Kosher Tashmish B'Yom Molid B'Yom. It says, we have a Mishnah which tells us that anything which has relations during the day, any animal which has relations during the day, it gives birth during the day. Balayla, if the animal that generally has relations at night, Moli Balayla gives birth at night. Hey, Sibun, they asked the Kash, is this true? Hare Tigos, what about the Tanigos, the hen? Hare Ein Tashmish Elabayom. It only has relations with its husband, the rooster, during the day. Vio lettuce, Bayom Bim Balayla, yet an egg lays, chicken lays eggs, both during the day and at night. So how do you reconcile that? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Avun said, Shani. Nah, the biological time clock of the hens is all messed up. They're different. You know why it's different? Because we say that, what's the indication that it's different? So he says here, Shekeni Oledis blows Zohar. Since a hen can lay an egg without a male, so therefore you can't say, well, it only has relations during the day. And if it should only lay during the day, that would be true. The only way it produced eggs is by having relations with its rooster. But if it produces eggs on its own, so therefore that means the process can occur any time of day or night. Okay? Says Yerushalmi further, Rabbi Zira Shemar Gidul says, Egel Shinoa, the fascinating line Gemara. Egel Shinoa, I mean a trefa beyond. Before we had a calf which is born of a kosher animal. What about if a calf is born out of a treif animal? A treif meaning an animal which has a mortal wound which won't allow it to linger more than the next 12 months. So an Egel Shinoa, I mean a trefa beyond, mutter. Mm-hmm. It's permitted to eat. Why? Because nasa gedaver muchan tamam bedaver sheino muchan. It's as if you have something mutter which is encased in something which is also. That was an amazing svara, the Yerushalmi Amevur, which I took out live by Rabbi Steinberg, explains this very nicely. He says, although it's not like the portion on the page, he says that, look,
a second.
Why is the tray for author to eat? An animal which is not an avela, that it's more to blow a blow which will die imminently, rather than an animal which is a trefa. That means that it could linger for the next 12 months. Right? Up to 12 months. So why is it also to eat? Even though it can linger for the next 12 months, why not allow to slaughter right now? Why now slaughter? Because it's lacking life force. If you want to shecht an animal and eat it, you have to take an animal which is fully alive and shecht it. A treif is not fully alive anymore. Right? He's on his way out. It's approaching the exit sign. Okay? But the reason why that treif is also therefore is because it lacks life force. But it's vlad, in this case which we're discussing, the animal within, the ego within the treif has life force. So the psul which the outer animal has, the deficit, the inner animal doesn't have. So since that primary cause for the outer animal's deficit is not present in the inner animal, because the inner animal does have a viable life force, so therefore he holds that the ego born to a trefa is considered to be mutter immediately the moment it's born. Why is that? Again, because we say that it's something which is encased in the Dabar Sheina Mukhan, it itself is Mukhan. There's an interesting concept, because that means we say this any time something is inside its mother, right? We say that it's Mukhan Agav Imo. It was fully prepared because of its mother. And that's even if the mother is a trefa. Because the only problem in the mother is that the mother lacks life force. The kid has got that life force, and that just works for itself to make it mutter on Shabbos, on Yotiv, again, because it's Naska Dover, Mukhan, Tama Dover, Shayna Mukhan. If it's still inside, Ben Bakur, yeah.
Let's say you shot the street, you know it's not good, you can't eat.
Yeah, I think that works for the kid though inside. Shita does work for the kid inside in that case. Because again, the whole problem with the outer one is a super, so to speak, a topical problem. It's that it doesn't have as the trephus, but really the shita is a valid procedure on it. Okay, so if it works on the inner animal, which doesn't have the topical problem of trephus. Now, says when Thomas Nina, we learned over there, Beitzas Nevela, an egg born of a Nevela. Im Yeshba, Kayetziba Muteris Pashuk, Kayetziba Nikeris Pashuk, if there's a similar egg, which is, in other words, if it's so fully formed, that he could have literally taken out the Nevela, right? To the hen is which had died of natural causes. So then the beta was found in that naturally dead hen. So if the egg was so fully formed that it could actually be sold in the marketplace that way, muteris, and the egg is mutter. Even though the mother died as a Nevela. If not asur, the egg is prohibited because then it got the chisorin of being attached to the Nevela and receiving all the Nevela's deficits. Okay? Says Kedivrei Beis Shammai. That's like Beis Shammai. However, Beisil Osrin. Beisil says that the egg and the vela is also to use on Yotam. Now, says the Gemara, Mata the Beis Shammai. What's the logic of Beis Shammai? It says the Beis and the vela is mutter. Because Gemura I saw at Shalot Tisnabel. It was already completed before the animal became an avela. So that's why, since the rain could be before the animal became an avela, so that's why, I should explain, that the egg was completed before it was nisnabel. The reason why the egg is mutter, because even though the hen is an avela, the egg was mutter before the hen became an avela, right? So therefore, as more me'atafil, if that's the logic to be matir, that the hen was mutter, that the egg was mutter before the hen became an avela, so if that's the case, afilu enka yitzibon in keres pashuk, even if you don't have similar sized eggs, similar nature eggs being sold in the marketplace, tabu teres. Let it be mutter, because since it was fully formed before the animal became an avela, what difference does it make if they're parallel ones in the marketplace or not? Who cares? Why invent this in Mar Sinai? Just say, if anybody sees what you're doing, say that this is, of course, one of the cases in when we were, where we would say that the egg is mutter, because the egg was there before it became an avela. Says, if you're going to say that, eventually they're going to erode that which is mutter, that which is osir. In other words, they're going to work back that which is osir until gradually nothing will be osir anymore, even the stuff which is still actually in the initial stages of forming in the cluster of eggs. So therefore, he says like this. What he to sum up, Beishamai says that certainly in this case, if you have the Beitz and Avela, it's permissible, right? Permissible, because it's fully formed before the animal became an Avela. And the truth is, I really should have thrown this in a couple of minutes ago, but an Avela can't produce eggs. So that's the general principle, the Avela can't produce eggs. So everybody's argument says, why would you not be matzah in this case? It's not even a Mar Sinai issue, because everybody knows that the mother's an Avela, and therefore the eggs which you found inside the mother, when the mother died, are kosher eggs. Because they couldn't have grown any more after it became an avela. So it says more. Basil says you're right, Mislora, but we're making this into Rabbanan here. This Rabbanan makes us less only go and start opening up dead hens and start taking up eggs, which are all still in the initial stages of forming. Not so late in the game that we say that they're fully formed before the animal became an avela. Okay, so that's what he says. The actual cluster. Now, ask the more question. Wait a second. Sounds like Beishamai is Kemishna Achrona. Says Rishoin, I know, but all the Pajim change to Achrona. Sounds like Beishamai is like the last Mishnah, which we're going to see in a moment. But it's still Kemishna Achrona, and it looks like the first Mishnah we're going to see in a moment as well. Dam Rabbi Chiyo! Rabbi Chiya, and some say it's supposed to be Rabbi Chiya Bar Bo, because Rabbi Chiya himself is older than Rabbi Yochanan, and he would not be quoting Rabbi Yochanan. So I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Bo. Rabbi Chiya Bar Bo said, "Rishayim Rabbi Yochanan, name Rabbi Yochanan." But Rishona, you are originally they used to say. This is the Mishnah Rishona. Ain Ma'amidim, when you make cheese, you cannot solidify the milk. You congeal the milk. Lo bekevas nevela. Not with the intestine of a nevela, the low became a sakon, nor the intestine of which came from an animal shechted by a goy. You know what I mean by that? You know how those cheeses make? How do they make sauerkraut? To put organisms, bacteria, where are these organisms to be found? Something far more disgusting. What? In the refuse which lines the inside of the intestines of an animal. So, and that's called rennet. Nowadays it's artificial rennet, but even nowadays most cheeses are made with natural rennet. Why? That's a good question. Marachun talks about a great deal why it's not kosher. Because it's really only a catalyst. You don't eat the actual your actual hide or flesh of the small intestine of the animal. As you yourself pointed out, it's really the bacteria which line the intestine which is doing it. Not the intestine itself. So, since that's the case, so Beis Shammai says, originally Beis Shammai said, Richard Rabbi Echna said that you can't use the gut of the intestine of Nevela, nor the gut of intestine of a goy, meaning animal shechted by a goy. Chazulam, I said, then they changed their mind, they reneged, and they said, Mabidim became the Kavas Nevela, you can't use the gut of an animal which died of natural causes. Name Mabidim Kavas Akum, and not the gut of an animal which is slaughtered by a goy, because we're afraid that maybe the goy had a mind to slaughter for the purpose of avodah zarah, and you're having an offer of avodah zarah. So Rabbi Yisrael Bun Amar. Before we go back to our question, which we're dealing with, I'm going to talk about this issue a little bit. Rabbi Yisrael Bun Amar Shmuel Bar Boy. He said, Rabbi Yisrael said the Shmuel Bar Boy asked the question. Mak Rabbi Lezer, why do we main in the Mishnah Achrona that an animal slaughtered by a goy is awesome? If that means that we're assuming that the intent of a goy is always for avodah zarah, that's not true. We know our goyim are not so frum; they don't sacrifice for the purpose of avodah zarah all the time. So why is it awesome? So it says, Mar Rabbi Yisrael, Shem Rabbi Yechanan said, Hachim Barishoyna, are you omrim ema amida b'lo b'kevus avodah? You know what? You're right. Remand the price up. Originally, they wouldn't share. They wouldn't do the solidifying of the cheese, not with the rennet from Nevela. The law became a sakum, nor with the rennet of goy. The chazru lomar, but then they changed their mind, and they said takum amidim ben became a Nevela ben became a sakum. In other words, the Mishnah Achrona is not that of a Nevela's mutter and a goy is also. Nevela's rennet is mutter. The rennet of an animal shechted by a goy is osur. No, they both can be osur, or both can be mutter. Rather, what's the brahmana? They both are mutter. Sorry, when they reneged, the Mishnah Achrona didn't just take off the isur on the nevela of nochri; they also took off the isur on the nevela of anaku. That's what it says here. See that? So it says, "Chotulomar ma'amidim be'mekevas avela be'mekevas aku." Now, like we said on top, so actually, machlok is between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Bun, or Rabbi Yassim b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Chia Bar Abba b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chia Bar Abba b'shem Rabbi Yochanan said, according to Mishnah Rishona, everything was off. So according to Mishnah Achrona, the veil was mutter, akum is off. Everything is mutter. So again, the machlok is whether it matter even the keva of an animal slaughtered by a goy in the Mishnah Achrona or not. So Rabbi Yisrael said, Loshen Masnisa Mesel Rabbi Chia Brabo. The language of the Mishnah in Beitza sounds like Rabbi Chia Brabo. It's not brought down here, but I wrote it down in the sides of my Gemara. It says explicitly, Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Shmuel that the reason why cheese of a goy is osur is because they use rennet, which comes from animals designated for avodah zarah purposes, to solidify the cheese. So you see quite clearly that the Mishnah avodah zarah is learning that even in by Mishnah Achrona, even after all is said and done, we're not allowed to eat non-Jewish cheese. Why? Because of the rennet, which comes from avodah zarah. So we see they didn't renege on that part of it. Now let's start the topic. Let's schmooze a little bit about intestines and its bacteria and lining. The intestine of a goy, meaning the animal slaughtered by a goy, so its potential avodah zarah, are kevas in nevela, or the keva in nevela, asura, are forbidden. They're forbidden according to Mishnah Rishona. According to Mishnah Achrona, it's a machloikas, which is mutter and which is not. According to the Mishnah Achrona, which Rabbi Chia Bar Abba presented, then only the cave and the vela is osur, but the cave and the vela became mutter, the cave of a goy remains osur. According to Rabbi Yassa, even the cave of Avodah Zarah became mutter. Why is that? Why did the mutter even have Avodah Zarah? Because the reason why we say that is because, in fact, of what you said before, that what we're really interested in is not the intestine itself, it's the bacteria. And nobody worships bacteria. Right? Now, I know they didn't know about bacteria back then, but they knew it was the coating on the inside. Right? It's not the actual meat, so therefore it would be mutter. Okay? Now, what about sherish yonka mina treifa? What about if you have a kosher animal which nursed from a treif animal, so what lines its intestines is the product of milk from a treif animal. And milk, treif animal means an animal which had a mortal wound. And milk from a treifa is also, halacha does not permit that. Were we to know that our milk, we have treif, milk from treifas, but also there was a big controversy 5 years ago because of that. Do you remember the controversy at all? When they found that certain animals' abdomens were being ripped open and that maybe the animals were treif, and their own milk supply might have milk from treif animals mixed in. No recollection? It's 1994. Where were you in 1994? Here, right? That'll explain it.
That'll explain everything.
But if you drank milk, then you would have a problem. But in any event, so that's the case. So unidirectional microphone, so it doesn't necessarily pick up from behind. But that's the case. What if you have a kosher animal which absorbed milk which lines the intestines from a treif animal? So kevas asura k'mishna rishona. Like mishna rishona, it's asur because the lining of its intestines, meaning the bacteria and stuff on the inside, is from a treif animal, even though this animal itself is kosher, right? Utreva shion k'mina k'sher. What about vice versa? A treif which suckled from a kosher animal, kevas muteres, it's kevas muter, according to Mishnah Achrona. Now, the truth is that it can be muter according to Mishnah Rishona, I think, because the treif shionka mina ksheira is actually that whatever is in its innards, whether we say Mishnah Rishona or Mishnah Achrona, in and of itself, that stuff inside is muter. But I guess to say it's like Mishnah Achrona, because our understanding of Mishnah Rishona was that if kevas nevela is osur, so it means that there's an issur using the keva from the nevela itself, even if it nursed from a kosher animal. They just made a gzera like that, because you might come to use nevelas or whatever, I don't know exactly. So therefore they're saying that according to Mishnah Rishona, before there are matir keva of nevela, so then the keva of a treifa, even if the treifa nursed from a kosher animal, remains osur because it's coming from an animal which itself was treif. Okay? Says the Yerushalmi further. Now, why are we bringing this all down? Because we want to ask the Kach, it sounds like Beis Shammai goes like Mishnah Achrona, because Beis Shammai allowed the egg which he found in a nevela. And Basil is going like Mishnah Rishona, because Basil disallows the egg you find in the nevela. And that's bad, because we want Basil to go like the final opinion of the matter. Right? So that's the Kach which you're coming to answer. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a kasha. You know why Basil was so machmir by eggs? Because Beitza, I skipped the line. I feel these room Basil and Mishnah Achrona. You can even say that both Basil and Basil are going like Mishnah Achrona. Alright, so if that's the case, I understand Basil is matir because Mishnah Achrona was matir, the Beitza, the cave of Nevela, so therefore also be matir the Beitza of Nevela. But what about Basil asking the Beitza of Nevela? So says more, no comparison. Beitza gidule gufa. You know why the Beitza and the Vela is usher? Because Beitza and the Vela is part of its body. It grows in a cluster inside the Nevela's body. However, keva, remoka macherbos. Where does the keva come? Why were we matir? The parish to use the intestine of a Nevela to make cheese? Because that comes from elsewhere. It didn't grew inside the body, but it's not part of the body. So Rabbi Basil says, I aser the egg which you found in the vela, because if I let people eat that, so next thing you know, people are going to eat in the vela itself. They'll eat the cluster of eggs from which the vela comes. But by the way, I think caviar is like that. Caviar is like the cluster of eggs which grows within the fish's body. I think that's what caviar is. Only had it once in my life. It tasted horrible. But that's it. What? Yeah, I'm talking about fake caviar. But fake caviar is also real caviar, just it comes from salmon, not from sturgeon. But it's also the eggs of the salmon. So so I'm pretty sure that's the cluster. So we don't want people to come to eat that by nevela. So if we ask the eggs of the nevela. But that's only because the eggs also grow from the body of the nevela. But the refuse inside the intestines, that it doesn't grow from the animal. So therefore we matter, we're matter that. Says more for Asir Kehot Am Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Bun goes to that which Rabbi Yisrael Barbun said Shem Yochan Ne Rabbi Yochan Myself Beborn of Shal Yudah Ben Shmui Myself My Son to Yudah Ben Shmui Shabiku Lem Zevi Yisrael Mishlosh Mel Son. A horrible, horrible loss occurred on their farm. Wolves came and bit more than 300 of their sheep, and of course now the sheep are treif, right? So what are you going to do with them? Salvage what you can. I mean, obviously you're going to shear them. But they allowed them, people, they allowed the use of the intestines from these sheep to make cheese, to make rennet. Why is that? Amru, they said, the beitzah which comes to the veil of a treif, kitule gufa, grows from its body. That's also by the veil of treif. But keva, the stuff in the innards, we mock a macher bus, it comes from whatever it nursed, so therefore that became remains mutter, and even from these trave sheep we can use the rennet, the lining of the stomach. Now, a new issue altogether, although the Gemara will tie it back to our Mishnah. Know the Yontif, what if you have Shabbos Yontif next to each other? Yontif is on Friday, and then you have Shabbos. So know the Yontif, the Yontif Shabbos. If the egg is born on Yontif, it can be eaten on the Shabbos, which follows it subsequently. And vice versa. The Shabbos, the Yontif Yontif, it's born on Shabbos, the Yontif is Sunday, then you can eat it on that Sunday. Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Lazar, Hiya Machlokes! That's the Machlokes in our Mishnah. Precisely this point. Beishamay Orin Teochel, Beishamay says you can eat it. Beisil says you can't eat it. Because Beisil has actually brought down the Bavli this Svara that Yontif and Shabbos have to be prepared for from before they begin. Shabbos can't prepare for Yontif and Yontif can't prepare for Shabbos. So therefore that prayer should to take place if Yontif is on Friday on Thursday or on Friday if Yontif is on Sunday. But not from Shabbos Yontif and Yontif to Shabbos. Says Gemara. Rabbi Chanina Hore L'Tziporoi. Rabbi Chanina had passed for the Tziporians, people in Tzipori, two things: receive chechardal ubebeitzah, both by wild mustard which grows wild in Shemitah, and by beitzah like Rabbi Yehuda. Now the wild mustard seed that was a kula that you're allowed to use it on Shemitah. Most of it grows wild, you're not allowed to use because we're afraid that then you're going to come to cultivate it. But you said you're allowed to use wild mustard seed because nobody's ever going to grow mustard and cultivate it. However, the sow is a kula. By Beitzah Zechumah, that Rabbi Yehuda said that you have to, that if Shabbos comes after you have to have the Shabbos, everything has to be prepared before the Shabbos, you have to combo starts. So that's a chumrah. So all Rabbi Yochan, previously, the Gros says, previously, Rabbi Yochanan had been in Tzipori, but Darish Luni said the exact opposite. Krabbanan da'ach, krabbanan de tamon. Rabbanan machmir by Smichei Chardo. They say you can't eat them even they grow wild. And they're makil by the, a beitzah on Shabbos when Yotam precedes, or on Yotam when Shabbos precedes, they can eat it the next day. So krabbanan da'ach, here by the eggs, krabbanan de tamon, thereby the case of the wild growth and Shemitah. So Rabbi Abba Barzmina B'Shem Rabbi Yitzchak said, Mikumi ilay tadmai, because of these two psakim, Nachas Rabbi Yochanan and Tzipori Tveri, Rabbi Yochanan came down from Tzipori and moved to Tveria. Because after he had darshan both things like Rabbanan, Rabbi Chanina came and darshan like Rabbi Yehuda. So he said, Omar, he said, Mas Yisulei Ayin Saba, why did you bring this old man to Tzipori? The Ana Shari Ay Matir, Vuasar, and he answers. Vuasar, and I answer, Vushari. He says the opposite of me, forget it, I'm skipping town. You guys fend for yourselves with Rabbi Chanina, who you just took. Okay? Gimel Amar Av, Bar Abba said, As Uvde Yikumi Rabbi Yasa, a mice that came from Rabbi Yasa, who bought Mevek Rabbi Yochi, wanted to follow Rabbi Yochanan, in other words, like Rabbanah, both counts, to Asa the mustard and be Matir the egg. God Shamar, the Rabbi Yurab, Rabbi Chida, Tarbeim, Plikin, when he heard that both Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, argued Rabbi Yochanan, Shema Mino, Sar Mino. He removed himself from this, and he was not refused to be matir the cases. He didn't get involved. The Spalkun. How do we know that Rab also argues besides Rabbi Yochanan? You know what I think? Let's try and go a little bit further. The Spalkun. The Amachlokas. Shorei Psila. Let's say you lit candles on Friday afternoon for Shabbos. Can use, and then Sunday is a Yontif. Can use whatever's left over from Shabbos on Yontif. Right? Shorei Psila, leftover wicks. Shorei Medua, the leftover, if you made a torch, the leftover wood, right? Shorei Shemen, or the leftover oil, Shekova B'Shabbos and Katsu B'Shabbos. Ma'al Ali can be Yontif, can use them on Yontif immediately afterwards. For Rabbi Chanina, Tarvei and Armin Lossor, they both said it's Osir. Because they hold that everything is prepared before the Shabbos Yom the combo begins. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mutter. Rabbi Yochanan says Mutter. Rabbi Yudah. So Ramona said for Yudah, Ma Abchon. Abchon is a strange word. Some change gives it to Akfon, which means put together. Some change gives it to Ichbalto, which means why did you draw a similarity? Literally, why did you make them double? How can you compare the two? Psila, the wick is complete muktzah. A wick which is burning on Shabbos is complete muktzah, so maybe that's why you can't use free yontif afterwards. But a beitzah is not complete muktzah. It's only quasi muktzah, right? Because it was already there in the mother's womb before it. It wasn't doing a dover usher on Shabbos like the wick was. So maybe psila is more usher. Amalei, so he said, what can I do? Since I saw the rabbis drawing comparison between Psila and Beitzah, Ahadu Amaraz teaches us, Hi Adah, they're both the same, and since they're both the same, so therefore where I have to pass it, not like Rabbi Yochanan, that an egg born on Shabbos is Mutar and Yotah which follows it, or vice versa, rather I have to pass it, Chanina and Rab, just like the Psila, from Shabbos to Asar Yontif, so vice versa, the psila on Yontif is Asar Shabbos, and the egg on Shabbos to Asar Yontif, etc. Now, like Rabbi Yochanan wanted to pass it. Okay, that's the end of the sugya. It's a convenient stopping place. Monday, there's still Seder here. Okay, so Monday will still be here. I checked out with the Meshkiach. That's the last night.